Dave, are you there? Dave.
Hold on.
Dave.
Yeah, I can hear you, man.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm learning how to use this Skype thing.
We are live. You and I are live. For the millions, of viewers out there today.
Hey, just so in case people didn't know, do you know that we're almost up to 100,000 views on our videos on Channel 9?
100,000? Like 100,000?
Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So I guess I should probably introduce ourselves.
That sounds like a plan. Why don't you start off with that?
Folks, I am Dave Kawula, your fabulous host for this Interview with an MVP episode. And I am joined today with my esteemed colleague and fellow MVP, Mr.
Clint Wyckoff.
And Clint, why don't you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure, Dave. Well, first of all, thanks everyone for tuning in and checking us out. We really appreciate your time. But anyhow, as Dave mentioned, you know, my name is Clint Wyckoff. I'm a technical evangelist.
No. Hold on. Not the professional intro, the personal one.
The personal one. What's the difference?
Well, I want to know a little bit about Clint. That's why our viewers are tuning in to us. They don't want to hear about all the stuff you do for work.
Right.
Tell us something personal about yourself, Clint.
Well, I enjoy long walks on the beach, candlelit dinners, and flowers.
I enjoy doing webinars. I enjoy doing webinars at 5 a.m. That's what I live for.
No, I live for 4. So this, I got you beat.
This temple that holds my head right now is not built to get up at 5 a.m. to do webinars. So why are we here today, Clint?
We're here to just talk about a lot of the questions that we received during a recent webinar that you and I did on Hyper-V 2016. So, you know, we had a very interactive session, and the viewers that we were chatting with, you know, they wanted some clarification on some of the different things that are coming in Hyper-V 2016, as well as just some general questions, you know, about technology in general. So, you know, in this first part of a multi-part series that we put together, Dave and I are going to answer these questions for you, the viewers.
Yeah, and traditionally what you'd see from one of these webinars, Clint, is you'd see a follow-up blog post or something like that where you would type out the answers. And we're still going to do that. We're still going to type out all the answers. But we really felt that it'd be nice to give you guys a live kind of behind-the-scenes view of what goes through to answer, you know, some of these questions. And we had so many. I bet you in the 3 webinars that we did, Clint, we had over 50 questions coming in on Microsoft-centric and just general technology questions. So why don't we get started here?
Yeah, I mean, in total, of across the 3 webinars that we did, we had 1,780 registrants with a 54% attendance rate, which is phenomenal. And we'll post a link to the recording. You can check across the bottom of the screen there, so you'll be able to go and check that out. But anyhow, you know, what's the first question we want to hit on there, Dave?
So I'm kind of looking at a teleprompter here. So if I look weird while I do this, just let me know. The first question that we have is, do you require any remote VM management tools in PowerShell or any IIS-based tools when you're taking and managing like a nano host or that remotely? So I think what we were trying to get at with that question was, if you install Hyper-V hosts, do you require any Azure subscriptions to manage those in your own private data center?
Well, I mean, I think the answer first part of that is no, right? So you can manage everything remotely on-prem within your own Microsoft Windows environment. The second part of that is, you know, you brought up a couple of different technology areas, the first being Azure, the second being Nano Server. You know, not everybody might be familiar with either one of those technologies, Dave. So can you describe what they are, and then we can describe how to manage both of them?
Sure. So, you know, Azure is Microsoft's version of their public cloud. So your IaaS subscriptions and such. And Nano Server is one of the smallest footprint instances of a Microsoft server on the marketplace today.
Well, it's Nano Server's coming out in Windows Server 2016, right? It's I would call it a feature of the traditional Windows Server. In the past, you had the full user desktop experience, as well as Core. Well, Nano Server is even smaller than Core. So in actually, if you scroll through the Channel 9 videos that Dave and I have done here on the interview with an MVP, you'll find quite a few sessions specific on Nano. But to answer this question, no, you do not require any type of Azure subscription to manage any on-prem, you know, Nano server, anything like that. I mean, there are server management tools that you can use within Azure to manage on-prem Nano. However, it is not required. So I think...
For sure. Yeah. All right. Next question. This is actually a really good question, Clint, because often when we're working in a virtualized environment, sometimes you need to move your virtual infrastructure from one storage platform or one file system to another. And so this question is there a phased approach to migrating your storage, for example, NTFS to REFS? So I think we've seen the requirements in the past to have to migrate from maybe an iSCSI array to another fiber channel array or an SMB or, you know, if you're VMware, NFS, right, stuff like that. This is a little different, though. This is actually moving to a different file system. So
Guest OS file system,
yeah. And so is that possible? Can you migrate from a traditional NTFS volume over to an REFS volume?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we're talking about some pretty cool technologies, things that are relatively new in the industry. You know, REFS, or what Microsoft has coined as the resilient file system, you know, it's an extremely error-proof, if you will, right? It's doing integrity checks on each block of data before it gets written to the file system. So it's extremely resilient, hence the name, you know, our resilient file system. However, they're making a lot of advancements in Windows Server 2016, and it's actually the recommended file system for deploying Hyper-V on, you know, Hyper-V virtual machines. You want to deploy those on an REFS formatted file system. So one of the questions that we did get here is, you know, phase approach. If I wanted to migrate data off of an REFS file system, how do I do that? Or do I need to migrate it? The answer is yes. So if you have a traditional NTFS formatted volume and you want to convert that to an REFS volume, you definitely need to move the data. Otherwise, you're going to lose it because you have to reformat because it is a different file system. You know, if they wanted to migrate, right, live migration storage migration within Hyper-V is an option. There are other tools as well, right, Dave?
So we can take and we can do storage live migration. And so I've used this quite a bit in the past to move around the data. And there's actually no reason why you can't use that same technology. And that's actually built in through Server 2012 R2 and also Server 2016, this version of Hyper-V. And we can use that to move your data around. So you just need to have two separate volumes where you'd store those virtual guest machines.
Absolutely. And if folks are interested in learning more about, you know, just the REFS file system in Server 2012, as well as, you know, Windows Server 2016, what's coming new there, all you got to do is go out and search on your favorite internet search engine there for the MSDN article on resilient file system, and it'll come right up there.
So I think that's a really good point, Clint, is that people should, if you haven't already started to get up to speed on REFS, you really should, because it's going to be a big part of Windows Server 2016 moving forward.
Absolutely.
All right, next question, and this is a good one. I actually get this one quite a bit when we're out at conferences. And this question is, will there be a new version of System Center Virtual Machine Manager along with Windows Server 2016?
Yes, absolutely. Microsoft's revamping the entire System Center stack, all the way from the monitoring and management with OMS to the management of, and OMS is the Azure public cloud version of the Operations Manager framework. System Center Virtual Machine Manager is a component of the System Center suite, and there is going to be a complete revamping of SCVMM in Windows Server 2016, or System Center 2016.
Awesome. The next question, this one was actually a really good one, and I actually had to do some research on this one because I wasn't 100% sure. I know that you were more sure than I was because you've done a bit more work with the resilient file system than I have. Can you start Windows from an REFS volume? So like, I think what they were getting at here was like building your host server. So for example, you'd build your host server on 2016 and you'd want to install that on RFS. I think the question was, is that bootable?
Yeah, the answer is absolutely 100% no. The REFS file system is not supported as a boot partition either for a guest operating system. A virtual machine cannot be an REFS formatted, you know, virtual hard disk VHDX, nor can a physical machine boot from an REFS formatted volume. It's got to be NTFS.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the volume, the cluster share volume that is hosting your virtual machines can be an REFS and should be REFS.
Awesome. All right. Do we have time for a few more here, Clint?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take the next one. So this one was, again, every question that we get during these webinars, Dave, are absolutely fantastic questions. And we definitely appreciate the dialogue that we get back and forth whenever we go out and do live events as well as webinars, too. You know, it's great. Fantastic. So the next question is, can you switch from GUI 2012 to Core or to Nano 2016? So I think what this viewer was trying to ask is, how can I switch from, you know, mode to mode? Is it possible?
So yeah, absolutely. And you could even do this with Server 2012 as well. You could flip between the Core to the GUI instance or remove the GUI and take it away and go back to a Core instance, which was kind of cool because you weren't really locked into a specific version that you'd have. However, if you want to start playing with Nano Server, unfortunately, if you're building that on your physical server or in a virtual machine, there's no way to really flip back and forth between the GUI Core to Nano or from Nano to GUI and Core. They are completely separate builds. So it'd be a reinstallation if you wanted to bring Nano into that equation.
Yeah, and we definitely encourage folks to at least begin to get familiarized with what Nano Server is, because it's a huge part of the way that Microsoft is recommending to deploy. You know, containers is a large part of Windows Server 2016 and Nano Server, Hyper-V hosts. And we start to think about born in the cloud style applications. And that's the, you know, the whole direction of that write anywhere, deploy many times, or write once, deploy many times anywhere. Your data center, my data center, their data center. You know, Nano Server is going to play a huge part in the way that the technology evolves over the next few years within the Microsoft ecosystem.
Absolutely. The next question is actually completely relative to the last one on Nano Server. So let's take, for example, we're building a hybrid environment. We want to introduce some Windows Server 2016 into our environment. And Nano Server looks very, very interesting to us. The question was, can you switch – the question was – where was it here? So it was along the same lines. Can you switch from the GUI of 2012 R2 or Nano 2016 as part of a cluster?
Yeah.
So introducing a Nano Server as part of a Windows Server cluster?
2012 R2. Yeah, absolutely. You can. Yeah. So that's one of the recommended ways of getting up and running on Windows Server 2016 as quickly as possible. The first step of that process would be to live migrate or drain the roles, the virtual machine roles off of your Hyper-V host and put that host into maintenance mode, okay? Then you want to evict that node of the cluster, that 2012 R2 physical node that was once hosting Hyper-V virtual machines. You evict it out of the cluster. You get them out of there completely. And you do a traditional Windows rebuild. You never want to upgrade the operating system. That's absolutely 100% frowned upon.
Can you do it, though? Is it possible?
Yeah, I mean, just because it's possible doesn't mean you should. It is possible. It's 100% not a best practice, not recommended. So you evict that node from the cluster, rebuild it using the Windows Server 2016 ISO image, and you can get Technical Preview 5, which is available right now, off of the TechNet Eval Center. You rebuild that. Install Nano Server, add it back to the cluster. So now I've got a mixed mode environment where I've got Server 2016 coexisting with Windows Server 2012 in a Windows failover cluster. Sounds complicated. It's really not. And you just kind of go along, right? So that's the zero downtime way of upgrading. And once you get all your hosts in the cluster upgraded, then it is time to update the cluster functional level. And that's really simple as well. Just done via a PowerShell. And, you know, I've written an entire three-part blog series on how to do this as well, which we'll include the links to. But
yeah, we can put the links inside of the overview for the videos for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. But then once you get done with all that, you need to upgrade the VM hardware version. And again, that's done via PowerShell using the update-VM version PowerShell commandlet. So it's really easy. And that does require a reboot. It's an irreversible process. And definitely everything that we've just mentioned should be tested in a lab environment.
Absolutely. So I think the last question that we'll finish up on is actually probably one of the most common questions that you and I seem to be getting and have been getting for the last series of months at all the conferences and kind of venues that we've been speaking at is there an expected release date, a public release date for Windows Server 2016? And I think that question came up because people are getting really excited.
Oh, yeah.
About all of these new technology advancements that are coming with Server 2016. So, Clint, do you have any insight? Can you look into your crystal ball and tell us?
I'm looking into it right now. That is my crystal ball, and unfortunately, I don't see anything.
So it's never going to get released?
Never say never. It typically gets released when it's ready to be released.
Really? Is that how it works?
That's generally how it works, you know?
I was pretty sure that it gets released when marketing says we need to release now and you can't miss another release date. I was pretty sure that that's how it worked.
I don't have an answer. Email Satya Nadella. Let me know what he says.
Directly.
Directly, absolutely. Virtual PC guy at Microsoft.com. He has all the answers.
Exactly. All right, man. I think that's good for this episode. In closing, you know, I really wanted to thank everybody that had a chance to participate live in our worldwide series of webinars on Hyper-V and Server 2016 technologies. And Clint, I believe that we now have a link to the recorded webcast as well, right? So if people want to watch the webcast, they can get a free link to it.
Right here. This will be it.
No, that requires post-production. It's going to be in the notes because I'm not going to do any post-production on this stuff. So anyways, guys, thank you so much. And we will see you for the next episode of Interview with an MVP. Clint, as always, it's amazing to have you as a guest. And we'll see you in a few minutes for the next episode.
Cheers.